has a great year. Again, we'll never be finished because it's very extensive and it affects a lot of other. I'm never finished, but you know, I wouldn't say Hezekiah is a lifelong enterprise, but it is very important, I think, and it's an interesting not only snapshot into Kedushas Yisrael, but I think of an interesting kind of topic, obviously, that highlights both Bava Kama and Bava Basra, especially type Nezikin, and also this, you know, kind of phenomenon of, a more subtle kind of responsibility type Hezek that both has kulas and chumras and that, you know, can be used also to, as like a paradigm, you know, to gauge or weigh, you know, other parallel phenomena. So it is a very, very important topic, in addition to just being a topic that covers several sugyas and, you know, is engaged and joined by very interesting Rishonim views and so on and so forth. But okay, just before we begin, just to continue where we were in the Shakotari of the Gemara, it was brought to my attention, I'm trying to remember who mentioned, Bini maybe, and Ezra? Yeah, about the Meiri on Beis Amidbeis. A few people mentioned to me? Yeah. So, that what again? That what does the Meiri say on Beis Amidbeis? This is in support of, it sounds like Avrami has made like a, you know, a bit of a, you know, has a bit of a following, you know, in the Shir. So, they're like Avrami loyalists, you know, who, you know, any idea that he throws out, they, you know, they delve into the sources and they, which is a good thing, right? So yeah, go ahead. What does it say? What does the Meiri say on Beis Amidbeis? I think Ezra also brought it to my attention, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, is it on the board? I see it. I can see through the Zoom, thanks to Yedidya. You know, I could see through the Zoom that it's back on the board. Okay, go ahead. If you don't mind, read the line. So we all owe a debt to Yedidya, who we look forward to seeing in person as soon as possible. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, I can't actually see it this because the words are backwards and I have to learn to translate. But yeah, so what's the upshot? So, but what about so therefore, what is the wall of Ten Tefachim?
It's just the heck there. Dissuade anyone from remaining next to
the Yina. So, but for the sake of Hezekiah?
Yes, exactly.
For its Hezekiah. Yeah. So this is, again, very, yeah.
I really thought he wasn't talking about Hezekiah at all. I mean, he's saying, it's all Ayin Ra'ah, and the idea is that, looking there too long, because everyone knows the halacha of asur la'av bi'olamo v'sadeh chaveru b'kamosa, if you're there too long, people are going to consider you.
Say the language again. One sec. So, okay.
That's a more. I know what you're saying. That's more up to debate.
You said line of Yishkan.
That's more up to debate.
The Yishkan Hezek Mamon, or Hezek Ria below Hezek Mamon. Okay, that line, of course, appears in quite a few Rishonim. That's a you know, by the way, the earliest formulation of that, by the way, explicitly, V'yesh kan hezek mamon ha-hezek ria below hezek mamon lo nemar begina, I believe that's the Rimigash's line, which is very important also. We were counting, you know, the Rishonim who don't hold, like Tosis and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, I mean, who don't think that Lishna Bisha is hezek ria. So they say, no, Lishna Bisha, that's just hezek mamon. Again, we also know, you know, other lashonos. So that's a line in the Rimigash, actually, and we should just put it out on the record in terms of the, it'll be important for in a minute also. So that's where this line comes from. But I thought that the Ma'achar Shekain Kol She'esha Masora Tvachim Nizkar Hu Ve'eno Matmid V'ri'iya Ad She'ikare Omeid Aleha Shein Hezek Ayin Hara Ela B'ri'iya Matmedet Shalpam Achas Right Ad She'aricha L'saper Binyana, etc. Okay, so I think what the main point that everybody's trying to make in support sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, just like then the next line, he's just saying.
Din has agreed. Af begina atayochel afarshal kain. Right. In tirta derech perush. Af bishul yom psakish beginim shem has agreed. With atayne kamosha kasavnu.
Doesn't sound like he likes the gradations of like has agreed. That's the only my only pushback.
I thought he was offering the gradations as like a solution.
Yeah, I'll say it this way. Let's say it this way. Avrami's bigger point. What's that?
I know that Avrami even agrees with me in this
theory. Yeah, I understand. I think it's both. You're all both making good points. But let's go, I think that it is a support in a bigger way to what Avrami's suggesting in the phenomenon. In the end of the day, let's say it this way. The Gemara in Vamud Beis, you know, makes clear that there are two shiurim of walls, right? One is Dalid Amos, and that's, of course, the shiur in Hezekriya. And the other one is, Asara Tvachim, right? You know, which the Gemara says is because of Nitvas Keganav. Okay? And that's what the Rambam codifies very explicitly. Again, what was it in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, where he spells out, you know, Nitvas Keganav. Avrami's point was that in Perek Beis, Halacha, and Halacha Tezayin, which, and I was adding to support, I'm also an Avrami supporter, so I was trying to support him by saying, you know, that appears earlier in Yad HaChazaka, obviously, than Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav. So it's not like he already, you know, established that every, you know, kosel of 10 is always a din in nitfas, you know, keganov, that he could say, oh, I said that already, right? This is the first time that he mentions, I think, a kosel of 10, tvachet. So, you know, I thought, it wasn't, even though in the tshuva he does say that it's kiyotzebo nitfas or keinze nitfas keganov, so either, you know, there could be a difference between what he says in the tshuva and Yad HaChazaka, especially in a subtle point like that. Or, if you want to emphasize the fact that he doesn't say it is, he says it's ke'ein, or, you know, kemo, you know, that's pretty okay as well. The bigger point is that if you only had the sugya vav medeis and paragimel halacha vav, you would think that the mechitza of ten tvachim is exclusively about geneva, or being nitfas, keganav. And what this Me'iri does say is that there's another function of a mechitzas ten tvachim that has nothing to do with nitvas keganav, at least not directly so. And it has to do with discouraging, let's say, the einabisha of gina. Now why that is, you know, he explains a little bit, you know, because it's, you have to, in order for the, you know, I guess the X-ray or the, you know, the thermal vision to come out of your eyes, or to qualify for the level of, you know, kinavasina, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, that we were talking about, the other day, that requires that you see it all at once, so that you see it in a more, pernicious and relentless kind of a way. Whatever, doesn't really matter to me, frankly. But the phenomenon, basically what the Me'iri is saying is that there's a mechitza of ten, tvachim, whose function is not nitvas keganav, it is in diluting sufficiently, right, the hezek of eina bisha. Correct? And in that, once you've said that, and once you believe that, right, now there's a second question, and that is two questions. Is Eina Bisha any form of Hezekriya, right? And we know that to be a massive, important argument, you know, going from, like, it could be the most paradigm, like the Ravan's Gire Didei, right, to the opposite view that it has zero to do with it, and it's either Midas Chasidus or some completely different Mechayev, or something in between, right, which says, you know, it's one of the overlapping aspects of Hezekiah. You know, but there are different types. There's Tzniusa, there's Hezekiah. We know that that's a massive debate. And or, you know, whether or not, you know, even if Eina Bisha, you know, is not exactly Hezekiah, but, you know, once you're saying that this kind of dilutes Eina Bisha, you know, it's not, you know, very difficult to say, and not only that, but if there's, let's say, some other more lesser form of Hezekiah in Agina, right, that, you know, that too is, you know, somewhat diluted by the Mechitza. All I'm saying is the phenomenon that a Mechitza of 10 serves a function of diluting your Re'iyah as opposed to simply Nitfas Kaganov, that is something that the Me'iri does. And there's no question that the Me'iri is inspired, you know, by, you know, the Rambam Shita. So in that sense, it is supportive. If not exactly, it doesn't really matter. But in the bigger, you know, question of what's, you know, the bigger issue of what's important here, it does support that. Are we in agreement about that? And having said that, Josh's point is still correct, that the Me'iri here is quoting the language, if I'm not mistaken, I'll just check it, of the Rimi Gash, again, who says, Eina Bisha is Dine Mamanis, but it's Hezek Mamon, but it's not Hezek Re'iyah. At least that's what it sounds like. It's the language of the Rimi Gash. One second. Oh, does it not appear here? That's so interesting. Wait. In the one that I have at home, I have it. One second. I guess there are different... They put out different editions of the Rimi Gash. And some of them are incomplete, maybe. Anybody have that line in the Rimi Gash? Maybe it's the one quoted in Shita Mekubetzas. You have it? Anybody? Okay, I'm not just, like, it's not a faint memory. I've seen it, you know. Yeah. You have, does anybody have this line about Gina? Gina Shiny? Yeah, that's the explanation, right? Again, which one do you have? That's like a separate edition?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, for some reason in the Kovetz Mefarshim, they don't have this this piece. Okay, but then that goes, of course, on the list, together with some of the other things that we saw, you know, that it isn't in a Bisha. Obviously, the Giri delay of the Rimi Gash, you know, on, what is it, Vav Amud Beis, is not the Giri delay of the Ravan, right? Which is good. We didn't think it was. It's the Giri delay of actual invasion of privacy, not of Eina Bisha. But anyways, okay. So that is that's with regard to once you have that as a possibility to suggest that maybe this is a form of Hezekiah or something like it, or at least that it isn't Midinitfas Kaganov. I think that's the bigger point. I think it's supported by that idea. Okay, good. We're in the middle of discussing Nafal Shiny. So again, just to get back to where we were, the bigger idea is that at least in the first few Chilukim on Dav Beis Amud Beis, right, when the Gemara is saying, Hezekiah Shmei Hezek, Lo Shmei Hezek, right? The Gemara says, according to that, Lishna, Kama, you know, that basically, you know, opts for Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Shma Hezek. So the Gemara is, you know, bringing out all the contrary evidence. So, at least when it comes to the first two, and we'll soon see, you know, we can continue this arc. It gets a little harder as you go along. The bigger argument is, you know, in understanding the maskana of the Gemara's Terutzim, is are we dealing with hierarchies, or are we dealing with, is the maskana, you know, inochanami, but there's a hierarchy. Even if old Hezekri Loshmo Hezek, Kula Alma Modu, that the Hezekri of Agina is Hezek, that the Hezekri of Nafal Shiny, right, is Hezek. Or, like in the bigger picture, I'm saying, or is the answer of the Gemara in each case, what are you talking about? Yehavamina, which is that this is a form, or this is Midin, Hezekri is completely wrong. Gina has nothing to do with Hezekriya, right? And Huadin, that's the one that we were discussing in class that Kiva was reading, right? Nafal Shiny has nothing to do with Hezekriya, at least nothing to do with Hezekriya, you know, Shema Hezek. We might have thought that's what it was all about, but Nafal Shiny is a way of saying this has zero to do with Hezekriya. In other words, and again, you know, where, like, if you were writing a Rambam, where would you put these halachos, right? Would you really put them in, you know, in the framework of Hezekriya, or where they really belong? On the other hand, if you think that there really is a hierarchy, and that's what the Gemara is saying, as I said the other day, so then you're left with the quote with the interesting question: does this hierarchy remain even the maskana? In other words, once you say Hezekriya Shema Hezek, is everything the same? Or maybe even more of a chiddush, going back to the Rajba Udiimei, you know, the tipping point of Chatzer, you know, recalibrates everything that we think about Hezekriya, and there maybe is a hierarchy, but it's a different hierarchy, right? Or is it the same hierarchy? Those are three possibilities, if indeed the Gemara's Maskana in these cases is about a hierarchy, right? Those are three possibilities for the final maskana we paskin, like Lishna Chirinan, Gimel Amin Aleph, right? So everything is equal, or there remains a hierarchy and it's the same, or there remains there is a hierarchy, right? But this tipping point, this fault line, whatever you want to call it, this, you know, this is where we reassess, you know, what Hezekriya really is all about. So this is very important. So when it comes to Gina Shiny, it's clear. And I think it's an interesting study to do, but we're not going to do it now, but it's, you know, we have kind of done it a little bit, is to see the pattern in, like, you know, individual Rishonim here too. Like, you know, and partly it does, I just don't know whether it ends up, you know, we'll look at the third one in just a minute, and the fourth, fifth, but you know, in other words, let's say, just to make it clear, the Balei Tosfos, you know, both in Gina Shiny, you know, and in Nefila Shiny, you know, are both working with hierarchy of Hezekriya. And Rabbeinu Gershom, for example, you know, both in Gina and in Nefel Shiny, right, is not. So I just think that that's an interesting... It could be that, you know, not every Rishon is going to be, because there could be shot. But remember, just to show that I'm not completely making this up, one of the lines in Shita Mukubetzis that I read the other day, you know, was critical of Rashi, because he said, oh, if you're going to say Nafal Shiny means, you know, because of some other factor, you know, because of their previous agreement, then it's not going to be parallel to the pshat and Gina Shiny, which is a hierarchy. I mean, my words, but that is what he's saying. So I was trying to point out that who told the Shita Mukubetzis, that line in the Shita Mukubetzis says that Rashi thinks that Gina Shiny, you know, is not a separate din and is part of the hierarchy. You know, we have plenty of Rishonim, you know, who don't think that, right? Rabbeinu Gershom, you know, the Rimigash, you know, the Rambam, you know, a whole bunch. So, you know, if that's the Rama, so if that's the case, you know, but the bigger idea that I want to bring out is that the Shita Mukubetzis question, you know, is it's, you could see it as kind of like, you know, all things being fair, it's like a literary style. If the Shaka Vatara, if the Gemara says this shiny and that shiny, probably they mean the same kind of thing. Maybe. Or is there a bigger question here? Namely, Hezekriya Shema Hezek either is yes or no, you know. So it's an absolute yes, an absolute no, and it's all equal. Just it passes the threshold, it's all the same. Or no, there could be a hierarchy. So the Rishonim are saying, well, you know, if you hold this a hierarchy in Gino, why wouldn't you hold this a hierarchy in Nafal Shaini? Okay, but either way, I think that there is this bigger thing. Having said that, so just reminding, you know, where we left off, which is, so there are two, just like in Gina, there were like two very, very different approaches, but subtly in between was the question, okay, Eina Bisha isn't exactly Hezekria, you know, but, you know, is it a form of it even, an overlapping form, and where does it fit in, you know? Hezek Mamon or something. What is it exactly? So too, right, in our Nafal Shaini experience, once you go through all the Rishonim, meaning Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom, you know, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rama, you know, the Ramban on Yud Zayin, we'll get to the Rinnegash in just a second, especially some of the later material in Shittim Gubetzes, which is going back and forth on some of the issues with the Rush, the Re, you know, in the Gilyon, so on. So then what emerges is that, like, you know, in, as I say, there's kind of interesting, subtle formulations on both sides of that equation. In other words, for, as we said, for Tosis, who thinks that this is part of the hierarchy of Hezekria, just as Gina was, right? So number one, this idea of Hurgalu Bekach, you know, becomes very interesting. The relationship between that and Einam Yecholim Li Zaher, which, as I pointed out, and some Rishonim don't, you know, copy the second, the Seifa, they only have the Reisha. I think there really could have been two different points. But then also the position that some Rishonim have of, you know, a Kopti, you know, which I think is different than Hurgalu. So all those kinds of things, you know, become an issue. And then the question of, you know, a legitimate, serious Havamina of Lamala Midalid, you know, pushing Hezekria, like, and then maybe the example of Sharshifa, you know, or such things. So that's on one side. And then on the other side of the ledger, of course, if you're going to go with Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom, you know, and so on, you know, namely, and maybe that's a shot in the Rinnegash, I'll get to the Rinnegash in just a second, namely that what the Gemara is really saying is that this has to do, you know, not with Hezekria, or the Machayev of Hezekria, but with, you know, the agreement between the parties themselves, you know. So then, you know, this whole question of, like, why not higher than Dalit, you know, obviously triggers this other issue, and that is that agreement itself about, you know, just, you know, completely arbitrary, or just, you know, about the nature of the, you know, separation between them, and its quality, or its height, or whatever, or is that itself still related to Hezekria, even if it's not a mechayev of Hezekria, you know, and then you get into the things like, is that the Shem Mechitza of here, even though it certainly isn't the Shem Mechitza in Kol HaTorah Kula, regarding Rabbeinu Gershom, and is that, you know, the Stam, if really, you know, it's not about, oh, they happened to agree to build a wall, even though they didn't have to, the way to understand their agreement was, you know, we're going to be super machmir between the two of us, even though there's no din, you know, maybe not even, practically not even a chalos of Hezekria, but we're going to treat this like Hezekria, in which case that simulation between them ends up Lekula and Lechumra means they have to rebuild the fence, right? And Lekula, meaning it isn't just the fence that they built, it's the concept of a separation that accomplishes, you know, the simulation of that goal. But then also Lekula, you know, well, if eight doesn't, you know, if more than four doesn't do it, and there's no Kalos, you know, then even if you had that, that's not, that just doesn't register, right? But then, of course, you can ask yourself the question that, you know, if in a situation, if the Mechayev isn't Hezekria, but the idea is to, you know, simulate Hezekria, can that ever also, like, include, you know, just like you're saying, Hezekria Loshma, Hezek, you know, but we're doing it, you know? Can that ever include, you know, Lamala Midalit? That's kind of what the Ramban was talking about in Daf Yud Zayin. So that becomes a very interesting, you know, issue. So the Nesivos in Simin Kufnun Ches Aleph has an interesting discussion. Anybody get a chance to see it? I told you if you had a chance. Maybe I'll give you the one in Kuf Samach Aleph. Yeah. Okay. So the one in Kufnun Ches Aleph is also a little bit interesting. I think open to a dispute, but interesting. In that, the Nesivos there is discussing, you know, the issue of Nafal Shaini, let's say, in a Bika or in a Gina. Right, the issue of Nafal Shaini that we have in the Gemara is Nochatzer, right? It's based on, okay, Hezek Ria Lo Shma Hezek, you know, but let's say they happen to build a wall, and Nafal, what's a story? But let's say we were talking about a Gina, or a Bika, and the truth is that, in light of what we know, they can be Mechalek in a fundamental way between Gina and Bika too. What would be the story there? So the Nesiva says, I think, you have it, Yitzhak, in front of you? Yeah, go ahead. He says, I think it depends on Rashi Tosis. Oh. So now, when you think about it, before we even get there, just one more second, I'll have you read the continuation, but, like, when you think about it, should it depend on Rashi and Tosis? I mean, Rashi thinks this is a din and Hezek Ria. Right, and I'm sorry, Tosis thinks it's a din and Hezek Ria, and Rashi seemingly thinks that it's not, that it's a din in the Haskama, you know, between them. Now see how he applies it, and then, you know, you could tell me whether it's Mukha, but either way, it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead. So that's number one. Again, you could have argued, meaning Tosa says that, you know, if Hezek be Loshma Hetzer, Loshma Hezek in a Chatzer, right, but not, but Hurgalu, you know, creates a makom tanua. So is what basically what the Nesivos is saying is, you know, kosel b'makom shehichmiru, right, is still superior, you know, to bika, you know, kishehichmiru, right? In other words, you can never. What Nesivos is saying is that for Tosis there are some objective standards. It's not just the fact that they built it. It's still the fact that they built it, and, like, I guess the range of activities that reasonably can be expected. So I guess the mentality of the Nesivos would be, well, there's a man damar hezek riyeshma hezek in a chatzer. So, you know, the idea that a chatzer can be a makom shel, again, you can look at that in two ways. You could say, oh, because that Mandamar thinks that the threshold of activities that require privacy is lower. But if you don't paskin that way, right, so it's you're saying those kind of activities don't, and it's zero. It's kind of what the Nesivos is saying is, no, I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, but I'm just trying to explain it better. And that is, no, this is Mandamar in Chatzer Hezek Rishma Hezek. Either way, Chatzer is a more private kind of a place, conducive to more private behavior, certainly than a bika. And therefore, while the capacity to turn, you know, a chatzer, even according to the mandam arlosh mahezek, into a mokum tsanua is there, right, that doesn't apply to everything and anything. So that part I like about the Nesivos. I just don't think it's mukhrach, but I think it's a very important limit. It really shows that it isn't just, you know, mashanagu. It's a combination of what's possible and can be bumped up by mashanagu, and so on. Correct? So that's kind of what he says. He says, in Bika, you're not... And also, it's, of course, the language of... In Bika and in Gina, he's saying, all we care about is, that's just Einabisha. Einabisha has nothing to do with anything. Again, the big assumption that Einabisha isn't the key, and isn't even a form, right, of Hezek Ria. Okay, just hold... Both of you hold the questions for one more second, so we can just finish. But then what he says about Rashi is even more intriguing, right? Go ahead. What about Rashi? Yeah. So he says, but if you hold like Rashi, that it's just a haskama. So actually, I would have been more comfortable at this point for the Nesim to say, well, this is an agreement that they had. The agreement wasn't about this wall. It was about separating with a wall from each other. And therefore, you know, you have to build that up. And so who cares whether it's a Bika, Chatzar, or a Gina? Okay, but that's not what he says. And I think the reason that he doesn't say it is because, again, he's still troubled, you know, like others are. And that is like, you know, if that's all it is, then why not, you know, also Lamala Midalid? Right? So, and as we noted, Rabbeinu Yonah kind of introduced into Rashi, you know, he kind of, you know, turned Rashi a little bit, you know, into Rabbeinu Gershom, which might be correct, which is, you know, that the, even though the Mechayev isn't Hezek Re'ia, right, but the, you know, this the fence, you know, is a Hezek Re'ia fence, but then he took it even one, you know, step further. Right, and that is, and that, then there's a certain irony that comes out of the whole thing, and that is, for Tosis, that it's really Hezek Re'ia, there are going to be limits, right? A Bika is never going to be a Mokom Tzanua, but for Rashi, where it's more like where we agree to treat it like, you know, Hezek Re'ia, which is how he's turning Rashi. He's taking Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, and taking it even a step further. He's saying, so then, you know, then what's the difference between a Bika and Hezek Re'ia Lo Shma Hezek? So, what about Lamala Midala? No, because that's just not a shame mechitza, you know, right? That's what he says, correct? So that, I think, is open to question, but I think that Nesivus kind of highlights a little bit some of the things. Yeah, Josh, and then Ezra, I think, also had a question. Yeah?
Could maybe in the first part he'd just be saying something more technical, that because people don't normally use a bika for anything except their produce, and that's what's only kundisha, not hezekriya, so that
there would never be a horgaloo? It doesn't have the capacity for it.
Maybe. Could you say in the second part that that's what he does mean? Or that you could even calculate based on that smart in the second part, that Rashi would only say you could simulate Hezek Re'ia in a place where there is the capacity. Is that possible?
Well, he's saying it in Bika, though.
Are you saying in Bika you could? I'm saying maybe the first part of what you're saying you could actually use that to argue on the second part, ironically.
Oh, I hear you. I hear. So Josh is saying maybe I overstated the Nesivos' point, or at least another alternative in the Nesivos, is not so much like, you know, you can't turn a Bika into a Makom Tzanua, as much as you're never going to have the Metzius, that's what you want to say, of Hurgalu. Could be. And then he's saying, oh, but for Rashi, maybe you might be Mechalek. In a place like a Chatzer or maybe a Gina, but hardly a Bika, I hear. Could be. Either way, I think the Nesivus is very interesting, both the way that he reads Rashi and the way that he reads Tosis, and that's, you know, in terms of highlighting. Ezra, go ahead.
Could we say that in light of the Sos that we saw the other day, in the Rambam and Gina,
yeah,
say
that again?
One second,
let me think what that means. The Ksos who says that there's a Hurgalu in Gino, Gino's Bena Ginos, you mean?
What?
You mean the Ksos who says that in the Lokeach Mocher case, that there's a Hurgalu, he says, oh, the real Pshat is just like Tosas.
Meaning, and he says that could even extend to a Gina.
That would extend to a Gina. That's a great point. I didn't think of that for some reason. Yeah, because the Nesivus is saying this about Gina and Bika.
Right.
So he's assuming that Tosis would assume that both Gina and Bika, you know, don't have the equivalent of Nafal Shiny, of Hurgalu.
The
Ksos is saying, for the Rambam, The reason, he gives two reasons, but a second reason, the reason that we care about Lokeach and Mocher is not so much because Lokeach has a greater obligation to protect, you know, the Mocher, which is the first point. It's that it's a Gina ben Aginos, you know, he's already Hurgal Bitzniusa. So you see, there is a Hurgal Bitzniusa in Gina. So you're saying if you just take the second point of the Xos and you compare it to the assumption here of the Nesivas, there are at odds. Right. Very good. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that is true. What? Yeah. Yeah, but I thought the Nesivas, doesn't the Nesivas say it's about Gina and Bika? Yeah. So, yeah. No, you're both right, but he says it about Gina and Bika here. Okay. Anyways, so that's a great point, Ezra. And, okay, very good. Good. So before we finish with Nafal Shiny, let me just make one other hara. And that is as follows. One second. Yeah. And that is, I just wanted to say something about the Rimigash. I'm just not sure. What is the Rimigash? Is the Rimigash saying the same thing as Rashi, or the same, let's say, you know, direction as Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom, etc., or not? Who has the language of the Rimigash? So there's something wrong with the text, either way. Yisrael, where's Yisrael? Got you there. Okay. Yeah. Do you have the language of the Rimigash? Mikamehaki, yeah. Then there's something wrong a little bit with the text, right?
Yeah.
It's hard. Everybody, it's hard to. And again, if you look at it, it's there. It's in the Shittim Gubetas. It's all the same. Is that the same as Rashi?
We thought so.
Yeah. It looks like it. The guy who writes the Ta'aros here. I think that everybody thinks something different. But he makes an interesting ha'ara. To me, it sounds like the Rimigash is a little bit different. So the guy who wrote the ha'aros here, at least the one that I published, I don't know who it is even, but as you recall, on Daf Vamad Beis, right, he also noted, and we noted, that it's curious that the Rimigash waited till Vav Amud Beis, right? Yisrael, you remember? To make the Ha'ara, you know, that Hezek Re'iyah is Gira Delay, right? Because you should already make that Ha'ara on that base, right? Why wait till, Gag, B'tzidei Rishus HaRabim, and you have to build a Ma'aka? You know, you should be talking about that, you know, in the Chatzer, in the first Mishnah in Bava Basra. And indeed, the Ravan, the Arzaruah, some of the other Rishonim speak about it right away. Right? So why did it get held back in the Rimigash to Vav Amud Beis? Okay. That, you know, it's an interesting kind of a question. But it has, you know, sometimes those questions are stronger than others, but here it actually is a little bit, you know, it is peculiar. So the suggestion was made that you might think that there's a special... That what? Do you remember, Yisrael? No, we'll get to that in a minute. A little bit, but more importantly, it's part of that, but that the distinction is more between like a situation where Hezekiah develops as a result of the, you know, termination of a partnership. Because that has certain features, you know, that may play into the, you know, into the considerations. Meaning, number one, it's, as we've discussed, mimela as opposed to, you know, mimela, there's more than one, or there's a mutual, you know, problem. Many of the differences that we talked about in terms of, you know, impacting chazaka and so on, But there, what we were emphasizing even more was that this life might just be the resolution. This is going to help us with something else in our next topic. It's like, you know, the pitaron, if you will, the remedy, you know, for shudfim. So maybe the idea is that, you know, the whole yisod of Allah, you know, again, I was trying to say this even in a bigger way, you know, for other rishonim, which is, you know, again, the whole question is based on, you know, in Harchakas Nizakim, when we pass in, what is it, like Rabbi Yossi, that typically Allah nizak laharchik and not Allah mazik laharchik, unless it's gira delay. And that's where we're coming to the conclusion, this is gira delay. But as I was trying to say was, if the whole yisod of hezekri in general is about, you know, the chiyuv to shkeinim, the chiyuv to, you know, to ensure every member of Klal Yisrael's, you know, kavanah brios and selam elokim and hashras hashchina, and so on and so forth. So maybe we just don't plug it into the regular din of alamazik laharchik or alnizik laharchik, you know, etc. And I was suggesting that for, you know, for those gaonim and, you know, and so on and so forth. Things that we discussed, you know, already. But if you don't want to go that far, you can at least make that kind of a suggestion, you know, when it comes to chalukas hashutfim, right? That might be the pshat, that, you know, when it talk about chalukas hashutfim in the case of chatzer, so there's no alamazik and alanizak, number one, because they're all mixed up. That's not the, you know, that point. That's, I think, also a way to say it. But in addition to that, it's about resolving, you know, the termination of this shutfus in a very harmonious and appropriate way. Right? And therefore, you know, it has nothing to do with the sugya of purely harchakas nezikin, ala mazik, or ala nizak. It's like the hezder, you know, at the border, but especially at the border, given the previous and no longer partnership of the people. So if that's the case, is that what the Rimigash is also saying here? That is, he's saying, you know, they made this agreement, so the agreement wasn't about this wall, it was about simulating some sort of hezekria, or separating, you know, like we were saying, for Rashi, for Ben Gershom, you know, for everybody who goes in that direction. Or is the Rimigash saying that, you know, we entered into an agreement, you know, how to mutually coexist at our new, you know, border, and that's a special din. And that's what Nafal Shani is. It's a din in Shutfin. Okay, so I think that is possible, and that would just, you know, it's a bit of a different twist. It wouldn't necessarily apply, you know, in some of the other cases as a result. In other words, if I, you wouldn't say nafal shiny, what I'm trying to say, always. Okay, so, let's move on. So what's the next case on the Gemara? Yeah.
Why would it only be 4 amos?
I'm sorry? No, so I still think you have to say that, you know, that part of this resolution, you know, has to do with, you know, hezekriah. It's just that a wall of hezekriah, just like we're saying for Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom and Raman, you know, and so on. I'm just saying it's not, you know, because like they were machmir, it's because this is the nature of, you know, the new coexistence standard, you know, that of shutfas, or the breaking up of shutfas. Okay, good. So now let's move on to the next point. What is the next point? Who is Yisrael, right? So Yisrael was reading. Does somebody have a question? Yeah. That's a great question, but that's a question, I guess that's a question for everybody, isn't it? I guess for Bali Tosis, that's a great question. For Bali Tosis, that this becomes a mitzius of hezekriah, So it's not a question, right? I mean, then it's that that works that way. I guess for every other Rishon, I mean, for the other that other group, no matter what you say, somehow, I guess the original agreement to build the fence, if they just built the fence, you know, without a kinyan between them, then that would be a real problem. Can we assume that the building of the fence to begin with was something that they agreed to jointly, and therefore the kinyan that they made, you know, is now being defined this way? I'm not sure. So that, of course, gets to, you know, what the Hagdaras of... So let's suspend that for a moment. Or not, you know, for a couple of days anyway, till we get to Kinyan Dvarim and Gimel. But, you know, it's... Kinyan Dvarim, you know, might be Ruchos, you know, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But I think it is a very good point. Like, what is it about this, you know, Hizchaibos, this agreement? Now, again, I would say, if what I'm saying in the Rimigash, you know, is possible, and I think that's what the guy's saying in the footnotes also there, then, you know, maybe it doesn't need that. Maybe that's a special din in Shudfas.
You mean
each one gets a chazaka that way? That the other person...
Non-minor has agree of, you know.
Could be. But just not... It's certainly not working with the mechayiv of hezekria. That's all I'm saying. It's definitely the hezder of Shudfas. Again, the fact that it's a Dalet Amos wall indicates... You know, that in terms of the, you know, the definition of the mechitza or whatever it is, you know, and maybe even like its goal, you know, that there's some element of hezekria. So once you say that, is there also chazaka if it isn't a mechayev of hezekria? I'm not sure. But I think it's a good point, and I just think we also just don't know, you know, how this original wall came about. If the original wall came out through a kinyan of some sort, and it isn't kinyan dvarim, right, and then I think the assumption is that the tochen of that kinyan wasn't about this particular wall. That goes back to the things that the Rishonim say. You know, it's about, you know, a new mode, you know, modus operandi, you know, between them at the border. And that's a different story. Okay. So, Yisrael, where were we? So now we go on to the next case. Again, I'm sorry each case is taking so long, but, you know, there are. It is what it is, right? Okay. What do we have? So we did Gina, we did Nafa. What's the next case? Go ahead. Tashma? Oh. And the answer? No. Hezek Rabin Shiny. Period. And then the Gemara says, Diachid Lo? Right, Toshma, correct? Okay, so we have another distinction. This one's easier, or what do you think? This one's very mechudash, not a mechudash at all. Both the question and the answer. I wanted a brief, a muskal rishon. Well, it can't be muskal rishon because you've been, you know, spent like 4 hours, you know, preparing, you know, this question, but so what do you could tell me what your muskal rishon was back in the day, or you can even just tell me what your muskal is now, not your achron, but meaning is it, you know, what do you think about the question, what do you think about the answer on the surface? There's no right or wrong, whatever you say is going to be right. That's not true for all our questions, by the way. But I'm asking, it's an opinion question, just like, how does it strike you?
Yeah, I didn't find anything.
What?
I thought it made sense.
The question.
Yeah.
You heard this question, and you said, good question.
Yeah.
Out of Amuna or nothing bothered you about it?
I don't remember.
No, if it bothered you, it would stick to you. You'll tell me in a minute, but I'm pretty sure. Okay, so you think it's a good question. Listen, the Gemara asks a question. The default is that it's a very good question. And we have to figure out why it's a good question, even if there is a problem. So you're in safe territory. And what about the answer?
Good answer.
So, you know, in your privacy being invaded, you know, by what's it's the difference between one person or two people, three people or seven people, 10 people? First of all, is I think an interesting question to ask. Okay, so let me tell you about both. Okay, let's get to the first point. Anybody have trouble with the question? David? Exactly. Who is the mazik here? Right, the mazik is the rabbin. Who's paying? Who's dipping into their bank account to solve this problem? The answer is the pool of nizaks. Right, that's what you're saying, right? So that is, on the surface, a distinction. Now the question is how big a distinction. But if we're talking about hezek re'iyah, right, you take it as, you know, a classical hezek, that would seem to be a very big difference, right? So, typically, if we're talking about, you know, tashlumin in a hezek, we're talking about the mazik. We're not talking about an obligation of multiple nizokim, you know, to defend themselves. Correct? Okay. Who makes this point explicit? The Nesivos. Excellent. But it's amazing that, you know, that the Rishonim don't zero in on it much. Now, the Ramban does raise one issue. Well, what does Ramban ask? And it's not just Ramban, actually, Bali Tosis too, but the Ramban asks with more greater acuity. Yeah. Excellent. The Ramban says, how do you know this whole thing has anything to do with Hazagria? Maybe it just has to do with Shmira. Right? What's his answer?
He says that it depends on how you view Bichar versus Delis. He's saying that...
Oh, Delis, maybe there are lesser things for security. This is about security, or this is about privacy and Hazagria. Okay, that's one thing the Ramban discusses. Tosfos and Ramban discuss these things here and later on. Of course, this is a part of the Sugya Daf Hei, Mishnah Daf Hei, right? I'm sorry, Daf Vav. So that's one issue. The other issue is, and let's say the public is, you know, further away. You know, there doesn't it make a difference whether the public is close or far from the border, right? So that's another issue that the you have to look at the Gemara. Right, and then, you know, both the Bali Tosis and the Chachmei Sfarad, you know, weigh in on this question. Meaning, there are questions in Bali Tosis and in the Chachmei Sfarad, which, you know, kind of challenge, A, whether or not this is a Shmira Din or a Hezek Din, and secondly, whether or not there is sufficient basis to worry about Hezek here. But the question that Asivas, you know, highlights is actually a much, you know, stronger question, right? What David mentioned, which is, you know, we're not talking about the Tashlumei Amazik here, we're talking about the self-protection of the Nizak. And that is very surprising. Let's say something else for a moment. How does the Rambam codify the Salacha, or where does the Rambam codify the Salacha? Yehuda? You see it? Where does the Rambam put this din? Tani? Where does he quote it?
Parakeh
Halacha Aleph. You have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, kol advarim, right? And that's where the sug is in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara. Meaning, what are the obligations of people, of members of a community, to each other, right? To promote, you know, a proper quality of life. That's how the Rambam codifies it, Parakeh. There's no reason, you know, when you look at that Rambam, to think that this has anything. It doesn't mean it isn't. You could say, oh, one of the things you need to protect against is, you know, the collective privacy of the group. Okay. But certainly, it doesn't have to be that way. And it's not in a hezekriya context, that's for sure. Correct? So, and yet the Gemara here asks, you know, hezekriya shmei hezek. This is a proof for hezekriya shmei hezek. Despite these discrepancies, right? A, we're not talking about tashlumi amazek. B, you know, maybe we're talking about shmira. Maybe we're talking about, you know, just, you know, the obligations of citizenship. You know, you levy taxes because you, right, you know, this, your fellow citizens, you know, need a certain quality of life. And, you know, big government, small government, whatever it is, you know, that's kind of what this sugya, you know, is about. What does any of this have to do with hezekriya? Right? So, when the Gemara says in the end, hezekah derabim shiny, like, what does that mean? So the pashtus, it certainly means exactly what we were saying before, and that is, oh, this is the difference between hezekiah and hezek derabim. First of all, on that point, I just want to make the ha'ara, right? That's a difference in quantity or quality? Right? Hard to know, but I think it's something to think about. In other words, ain't a doma protecting yourself from one neighbor or two nosy neighbors or curious neighbors, we'll call them, will be nicer, right? Or we'll call it concerned neighbors, would be even nicer. As opposed to like the assault, the onslaught, you know, of the entire, of anybody. So what is it? Is it the randomness of it? Is it the, you know, the numbers, the persistence? Or is it? Is there also like a category of, you know, of hezekah derabim? You know, that like, oh, you know, it's not just, it's always, it's more, it's random people, it's strange people, it's a lot of people. It could be any or all of those things. But what I'm suggesting is that something to think about at least is whether there isn't just a category of like, you know, being on, especially on a privacy level, of course, I'm talking about privacy, you know, oh, you know, you're on public display. You know, when we say something, that's sometimes an expression that we use in English. You know, you're on public display. You know, sometimes we mean like, oh, other people can see you. But like it invokes, you know, something even more. Like the entire Rosh Hashanah can see you. You're exposed, you know, to everyone and, you know, and anyone. That's like a totally different madriga. And the more you think, let me say it this way, because if, let me say it this way, if hezekriya is about Eina Bisha in the narrowest way, you know, the daggers, you know, whatever they are, or, and, you know, and including some of the more subtle ones, and if Tzniusa is about, you know, Beis HaKise and Arayos and, you know, and so on, even if it's about, you know, the restriction of your, you know, reshus, and therefore it's devaluation. So at the end of the day, it matters whether you have three neighbors or 1,000, right? Or the public. Maybe, but unlikely, you know. But the more we think that this is about tzniusa, the idea of being, you know, publicly exposed or on public display is a different category. That's something you think about, something to look for in terms of the maskan. And therefore, it isn't just about, and again, it's more like, as I said before, instead of like, you know, trying to say, well, included in people's, you know, behavior and conduct, you know, necessarily so, and in some cases, you know, appropriately so, and even ideally so, right, there are things that they do, you know, that are private and personal. Right, but what I've been trying to say all along, and that's very possible, and the Summary Shonim are very explicit about that. You get that in Bayis Shiny in a second as well. Same basic idea. But what I've been trying to say all along is, you know, Hatznei Alacha Samasham Alokecha and Shochein L'Shvatav, you know, maybe it isn't only about, you know, this behavior and that behavior, the necessary, the permissible, the even ideal, you know, maybe it's much more than that. It's, as I say, about having a sense of individuality and privacy, you know, and hatznei leches and modesty, you know, that goes beyond that. So that perspective makes it much easier to understand Hezekiah de Rabim shining as a qualitative, you know, category. Okay. But getting back to the first point. So I'm just throwing out the possibility that maybe a little bit, the more, let's say like this, the more you think that Hezekiah de Rabim is not just a more acute, you know, one of the things I just said, a more acute expression of classical, you know, Hezek Rabim, Hezek Re'iyah, but itself is, you know, a madrega that has to do, you know, with the whole nature of Hatznei Aleches and so on. I'm wondering if there isn't another way, kind of a, and I don't think this is so simple in the language of the Gemara, but I'm wondering at least whether or not one could also suggest that the pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara says Hezekiah de Rabim shiny, right? Because remember, in the end of the day, you know, there's also a kula to Hezekiah de Rabim. That's like, you know, Mamon Shein Lem Tovin. Like, there's nobody to put the blame on, which is why there's nobody to charge, you know. But is that the Gemara's way of saying, you know, yeah, you know, this isn't Hezek Re'iyah. This is a whole different category. Right. I think there are two ways, again, going back to the way we've been discussing all along, the two perspectives in reading the Shakav Tari of the Gemara. Hezek Re'iyah lo shma Hezek. Right? So, again, the simple reading of the Gemara is, this is an example, even if the others are not an example of hierarchy, this is an example of a hierarchy. If when it comes to Hezekiah de Rabim, shining. Everybody agrees. Hezek Re'iyah shma Hezek. Right? Okay. That's the line. That's the threshold. And then the next one, you know, is going to be, oh, we'll get to the next one either, but you'll see the same idea. But what I'm suggesting now is maybe no. Gina shiny and Nefila shiny, there's only one Hezek Re'iyah, either there is or there isn't, but there are different Mechayvim that may look like Hezek Re'iyah, but they're not. Right? And that's what we mean when we say Hezekiah de Rabim. Hezekiah de Rabim shiny, there's no Mazik here. Moreover, it's Hezekiah de Rabim. You know, it's both less, you know, there's no perpetrator, you know, and it's more, and there's more. So what we're really saying is this is not Hezek Re'iyah, you know, it's just different. It's the obligation, it's quality of life in a community. Right. What I'm saying is either Hezekiah de Rabim shiny means it's a different category qualitatively completely, not a hierarchy, even though it is a tzniusa thing, but it's a, you know, just on a different madrega entirely. That's one solution to make this not part of the hierarchy, kind of. Or what we're saying even more than that is, it's a din in the community, in community life. It's taxes. Yeah. Yeah, no, that, so with the Gemara, if you read it this way, you know, either one, meaning that Hezekiah de Rabim is just a totally different, it is a Hezek Re'iyah, but that's like, it's not quantitative, that's just, you know, or that we don't, it's Hezekiah de Rabim, and therefore it's not, it's a totally different thing, right? It's not the Mazik, it's the Nizoks, whatever. So then what that is signified by the words Hezekiah de Rabim, saying, oh, that's a different, then the Gemara says, but in Hezekiah de Yachid, you're saying doesn't exist at all. That's just a contrast. So that doesn't trouble me. So this would be a good way, again, to explain why the Rambam puts us in Parakei, Halakha Aleph. And this would also help us a little bit with the Nesivos. So let me get the Nesivos in just one more second. Before I get there, let me say one other thing. Let's say for the moment, you know, the simple reading of the Gemara, right? Because originally Yisrael thought it was fine, right? So, so what do you do with this problem? You know, we're not talking about the Mazik, we're talking about the Nizoks. So how does this, what does this have to do with Hezek Riyah Shmo Hezek, which is about the obligation of the Mazik to remedy or to abstain or to refrain? Yeah. Ah, excellent. Exactly what I was hoping for. Thank you. Very good, Noam. Meaning, I think what you'd have to say, but again, there's an important, you know, assumption here, and that is that the Gemara is thinking that, you know, why is Hezek Riyah Lo Shmo Hezek? Right? The answer is because Riyah is a davar shein bo mamish, you know, again, kol mara v'reach, all the things that we're talking about. Correct? And frankly, you know, we're talking about Hezek HaDerabim and so on, the more you look at it, not in terms of, like, you know, fiery eyes, you know, and or limited use of your property, which would justify Hezek HaDerabim being a different category, the more you're in that subtle Hatsneya Lechet, you know, area, right, that could be a worse kind of a Hezek once you buy into it, in Kedushas Yisrael. Or even more of a reason to think, like, you know, like, is that, but is that really Nezek? Like in what we normally typically mean as Nezek? So then basically, what the Gemara is trying to show is, you know, of course, we're not talking about the Mazik, because we're talking about the obligation of Nizokim to, you know, to band together. But if it wasn't a Chetza Shel Nezek, no, we say Hezek Miyashma Hezek, or Loshma Hezek, right, there are two, you know, perspectives to look at. One is the Roeh being Mazik, right? And by extension is the, but by extension the question is whether the Nireh is being Nizok, which is another way of saying, whether there's Chafza Shel Nezek through Hezek Riyah. So while the Mazikim are kind of neutralized in this case, because that's the kula part of Hezek HaDerabim, as opposed to the chumra part of Hezek HaDerabim, the Chafza Shel Nezek piece is still the common denominator. So the assumption, of course, would be that it's enough to prove that Hezek Riyah is a Chafza Shel Nezek, that's sufficient to require the Mazik, when there are identifiable tovim, right, to do something about it. But that the common denominator in the Gemara is exactly what Noam just said. Okay? Good. Then let's go to the Nesivos for a minute. So what does the Nesivos say in Kuf Samech Aleph? Yeah. Do you want to ask a question? Or you want to? Yeah. Say again, that there are multiple...
Instead of saying Hezek HaDerabim, there are multiple people being Mazik.
Oh, Hezek HaDerabim. Hezek HaDerabim. Hezek HaDerabim doesn't mean that the public is being Mazik. It means that there are multiple Nizokim. Which would... First of all, that's fascinating. Does anybody say that?
Do we...
Binyan Brass says that. Wow. You heard it BPF? Live or on Zoom? Okay, nice. you know, that, you know, does that mean like the Mesh Tarilui guy would? Okay. I think it's a really interesting idea. Well, let me just look at the language again. I mean, I don't think it's a Kipshuto, but... I think it's really an interesting point. One second. Yeah.
The Gemara on Chavdalin uses it that way.
The Gemara on Chavdalin.
For multiple
Nizokin. What's the Gemara there about? Which one? Like, did Binyamin quote that when he said it? But he probably had it in mind. Yeah. So again, like Avrami, like Binyamin is developing a following. Like I wouldn't want to see like a contest between the two groups. That would be like, yeah. What's the case here? I'm trying to remember. One second. Let me look at it. But a very interesting idea. Let's see, how would that help us? I mean, that's the Gemara's way of saying, you know, this bigger idea that Beishar has nothing to do with Hezekiah. It has to do with, you know, it's like a totally different category. So the totally different category is not because of the Mazikim, it's also because of the Nizokim. And again, it isn't just how many of them there are. It's like, you know, it's a community of victims, or you're victimizing a community. Okay. It's very, I hear it. I don't think it's as simple as pshat, but the Chavdalot on base is an interesting, I mean, that's an interesting support. I do think it's something to think about either way, and I think that the idea behind it would be very similar. Meaning, although I think it could be mechalik, between multiple nizokim and it isn't multiple mazikim. Again, it's a community victim as opposed to, you know, the world or the public, you know, is in your backyard. Right? Okay, so that's an interesting idea, and that would again support, I think either one would work with this idea. But I hear it. So again, you know, basically I'm trying to say Lamaskana, like, is there a way to say that this isn't part of the hierarchy, or that it's a completely different, it's you know, it is a hierarchy, but it's not like Gina or Nefila, you know, it's just, you know, a different, you know, level completely, one or the other. Okay, so what's the point in the, what is in the Sivas' idea? He makes a Sa'ara, Kyle, correct? You have it there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He was explaining, Bimamon, Afeshar, who we should have Hezekiah, for a Majra, based on Kriya, Makan, Hezekiah, Shmanazik. Simon and Sid Kimon, Gor, the Indian Hezekiah, Phileas, and Afeb, Bishnaim, and Shabba, Masha, the Wedin, Imish, like Afeb, Mamma, Harbe, and Koma, and Shabba. I just say, Yeshomar, the shiny hatam, the Hezek, who may Achab of Abiro, Koachar, shame Mazikala, or Mazar of Gaston. Katsar, the Harfi Gaston Mazik, of Sakata, or Mazik, of Sakato. I should ink in Haka, Shanetic Bame Akir. Aha, Mishu, Giza, Yoter, Sarah, Pizin.
Ah. So this is a terrific Nasivos. Right. So the Nasivos really, you know, he really clues in to this other issue, right, which we have alluded to, but we didn't ever get a chance to speak up more fully. And that's the Yad Ramah and the Rashash. Okay, you saw it, Kyle?
I'm not sure if I saw the right Rashash.
The first one. Right, the first Rashash in the Masechta addresses the question again. The Rishon who addressed the question was the Rama, but the Rashash, the first one of the Masechta, is very, very. You have there, Yonatan. Go ahead. Just a little louder, so people can. Yeah, let's say the two Shutfim are not equal partners. Let's say it's like, you know, two-thirds and a third. Or let's say it's like a Yerusha and there's a Bechor and a Pasha. So is the obligation to contribute to the wall and to the territory commensurate with their portions or not? So the Rashash says, I think it should be. And then he quotes the Sugya later on. What's the Sugya later on? Govin fi mamon. What is it later on? What do they talk about later on? Well, first have the Mishnah there. Yeah. What's the Mishnah? That's our sugya, right?
Yeah.
And then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Lo kol vacheretz ruis lebeit shar," and that's right. Okay. go ahead. But then you have another one. Kofinos olivnos le'ir. Chomod lasayim ubriach. Right? Okay, so we're talking about building walls, building, you know, a gatehouse and a door, you know, etc. Good. So the Gemara says about that, the Gemara has a discussion. Boy minei Rabbi Loim Rabbi Yochanan kishen govin lefinish fasho sen govin odum lefish shavach mamon govin. Correct? Then there's another day in the Gemara. Maybe it's Lefi Kiruv Batim Hein Govin. So is it this is a poll tax? You know, it's every citizen is equal, or it depends on how much of the town he owns, or maybe how much benefit he gets because of his proximity, like to the wall, right? So is it you know, people? Is it financial stake, right? You know, the benefit in terms of your property value, or is it even, you know, benefit in terms of the actual function of the whatever it is that's being levied? Both, all three, very reasonable, you know, questions. Actually, Rashi says kishem govin refers to lechomas ha'ir, right? Does he mean to exclude Beis Shar Videlas? Possibly. And what about Tosas that Rosh Hashanah was talking about? Okay, so that's like, you know, once you're getting, like, what's the formula? You know, like everybody, you know, again, you know, as much as people are people, you know, there's certain endemic, you know, issues in every society. And of course, our job is to figure out what the halacha's view is about those things, and especially if it touches on daraisas, etc., you know, what values are being projected. But like, you know, you can't hear the news today. You know, is everybody paying their fair portion? You know, you have the people on the right and the people on the left. You know, and you know, the whole question of wealth distribution and inequality, and you know, who should benefit from the services, and you know, it's every generation. It's not just our. Again, sometimes there are trends. And sometimes these trends, you know, are very constructive, and sometimes they're destructive, and sometimes they reflect, you know, other, you know, leitmotifs in society, you know, that makes things interesting. But, you know, the core bigger questions about, you know, representation and, you know, and taxation, you know, according to benefit or capability, all these things are just, you know, they're objective questions in any social setting. You know, so that's what we have here as well. So what the Rosh Hashanah is saying is, when it comes to levying, you know, taxes, basically, the Gemara has a discussion, you know, about, you know, every citizen is equal, or it's about capacity to pay, or it's about, you know, financial stake, or it's about benefit. So the Rosh Hashanah says, Hu Adin, when it comes to the Kosel of Hezekiah. Correct? But the Rama, who has the language of the Rama open? You have it? Yossi, go ahead.
The Rama says,
tremendous Rama, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
He says,
The Rama exactly talks about this, as the Rosh Hashanah notes, and he says, or Rosh Hashanah is mostly focusing on the Shulchan Aruch, but this is the first Rishon who talks about it. What does the Rama say? It's equal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the amount of value that you have in the property. It could be a Bechor and a Pashut, or two people with unequal shares. And nonetheless, the wall, both in terms of the, you know, whose space it, you know, it takes, which is a financial issue, as well as the investment of the material and so on, is each individual. Correct? Keep going, just a little more.
Oh,
this is what's so amazing. He basically tells you what he thinks this depends on. He says, what do you think? That the kosel of Hezek Re'ia is like an investment in the quality of life, or in the quality of the you know, of the border, or whatever it is. The you know, it's the enhancement of the property, such that you should say, oh, he's got a, you know, he owns 2/3, he should pay 2/3 of the benefit, right? Isn't that what he says? Yeah. He said, that's not the pshat. Go ahead. Had it been that, namely, that what you're paying for is something that enhances the quality of the property, right? Then he's saying, in Achanami, you'd break down. Go ahead, keep going. Yeah. But really, this isn't about quality of, you know, you've increased the property values. I'm saying it's like so fascinating, right? Just that these are very, you know, clear thinking, you know, poskim. So he said that's not what it is. It's actually about the opposite. It's about preventing damages, right? Keep going. The obligation here isn't positive. It isn't to contribute, you know, to add to the quality of the people's lives. It's to neutralize, you know, a negative, a damages. Yeah. To prevent Hezek. Go ahead. Yeah. Then he says, but wouldn't that mean in the end of the day that Lamaisa, a Bechor and a Pashut are not really splitting? Very interesting. He goes on with it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You have that part?
Yes, he says at the end,
low battery, please charge.
Nice. Hey, Josh, they're doing, I thought you did it like a Nevua. You do all along, you get instructions from the machine. Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
So therefore, so he said, no,
he's invoking other, he's poreach avosu shogel. Basically, in a word, like this is a very fascinating Rama. The Rama is saying, listen, there are two types of things. There are positive contributions to the quality of life and the enhancement of property. Those should be broken down by, you know, value ownership. Right? And then there's something else. Right? And that's called, no one has a right to damage anybody, not to damage them a little, not to damage them a lot. It doesn't matter that I'm being, you know, saved from bigger damage and you're being saved from little damage. Neither of us has the right to damage each other. Kiyuza. That's Rama. So, first of all, in light of the... what is the Rosh Hashanah saying? Then the Rosh Hashanah says, oh, by the way, he says, and the Gra and others, you know, they bring rayas, you know, for this position. Maybe that it's, you know, one by one, not by the value. And he has a, you know, to a good line where he says... But, you know, the Arvach, what does it say? Arvach, Arva, you know, Tzarech, or something like that? Which is another way of saying, you know, a good halachic, you know, sharp way of saying, like the Rayas are already, like, assuming, you know, one side of this issue, so, like, you know, it's like preaching to the, you know, preaching to the committed, you know. But the whole point is that the riots themselves need riots, you know. Okay. Anyways, so what is this bigger issue? Ah. So, like, I put this as a separate category on the original Marmokomos, because I thought it was a really important issue. The more we think that Hezek Re'iyah is a Hezek, you know, either in its own right or based on the framework and so on, we'll end in a couple minutes, the more the Ramaz 100% right. You can't compare it to Bechor and Pashut and, you know, the Degor or, you know, bigger owner, you know, landowner and a smaller landowner and the benefits that they accrue, right, from certain, you know, policies and therefore their obligation to contribute accordingly and so on. Right? It's about Hezek, it's about Nezek, it's about Vakama Halacha. Right? It's about preventing. However, what we've been trying to do here is to show, you know, that Hezek Re'iyah, according to at least some, is kind of in an interesting place. Right? And that is, you know, part of it is the Chiyuv. And part of it is quality of life. It isn't, it's not completely negative. Of course, I mean, the Rama is right. And the Rashash is right. You know, it's a very subtle thing. This is Hezek because of the expectation, right, that there should be a certain quality of life, you know, which includes privacy and the protection of privacy and Kavanah Brios. On the one hand, that's an inalienable kind of a thing. So it's hard to say, oh, it's like a social benefit of taxes, you know. And it does engender Hezek. We do call it Hezek Re'iyah. And we speak about Isurim. No question about that. But if it weren't for, you know, our perspective that this is an enhancement of quality of life, you know, then it wouldn't be. So it's kind of, it is and it isn't. And let me just take it a step further before we get back to the Nesivos for a second. And that is, okay, so, you know, how does this fit into the regular picture of Hezek Re'iyah, this base Shaar and Delet, as we've been saying? So I've been trying to explain, you know, and Binyamin, I guess, in his way as well, you know, with Aaron's, you know, advocacy. And that is that, you know, maybe this is something different.
Low battery, please charge.
This is something different. And it's qualitatively different. This is like in a way of saying stop the shear, right? Your time is up. You know, the smorgasbord is over. Yeah, I hear that. So, you know, again, Noam suggested before, and this is exactly what I was looking for, that, you know, again, the Nesivos raises an important point, and that is, there's no mazik here, and the mazik isn't paying here. So how will you know, to explain, you know, objectively, forget about the language of Gemara, that we tried as well, whether his way, my way, in the end of the day, this is a different halacha, a different kind of Hezek Re'iyah, or not a Hezek Re'iyah at all. And of course, let me just say this, the Nesivos' suggestion that because of this phenomenon, namely the absence of Tashlumin from the Mazik, that therefore here, Dafka, we're going to go according to the person's proximity or value, ownership, etc. He's not endorsing the Rashash. He's saying here, this Nizka Derabim Shiny is the exception. And I think it's brilliant. I don't think it's mukhrach at all. But I think it's brilliant. I think it's very appealing. But in light of that, I totally understand what the Rashash is saying. Right? So in a way, getting back, you know, so again, the Nesivos' idea that this is a separate kind or a different kind of din doesn't mean there's no overlap. It does. But it's a different kind of din. And that when the Gemara says, you know, it's the public, it's another way of saying kind of what I was... He doesn't say this, but... Like, you know, there's no mazik here. So this is a different... I would have to do with Hezek Re'iyah at all. Maybe that's muskan, is that it doesn't. But we knew this in the Hava Mina too. So we're saying what Noam was saying. Chatzah shel nazik. But I think there's another way to say it. Right? And that's maybe why Yisrael, you know, was comfortable, you know, to begin with. And this could be true not only in the Hava Mina, but even in the Maskana. And that is, the more we look at Hezekiah like the Rashash, even though he doesn't spell it out either, but I'm talking about it in terms of his conclusion, and especially in light of the very, you know, clear criteria, the way the Ramah, like, maps it out, right? So it's not very difficult for us to say that Hezekiah is really a benefit, and that it's a quality of life thing. And therefore the people who live together, you know, benefit, you know, in a incommensurate, you know, kind of, I don't think it's mukhrach at all. But the point is, but in light of that, if that's really the yesod of Hezekiah, then the fact that, okay, there's no mazik is beside, of course, if there's no mazik to pay, then the nizokim are obligated to help each other because it's just intolerable, not only for each one of them, that they could be mochel maybe, you know, if not in a kinyan way, you know, forever, that depends on the Rif and the Ramban and the Rajba and the Ramah and so on. Okay, but Lamaisa, they could decide not to do it. But they can't decide not to do it when their neighbor is also at risk. If anything, they've got to do it to protect him. In other words, it's in the nature of the Nezek of Hezekiah, right, and the Mazik of Hezekiah, but especially the Heftishal Nezek of Hezekiah, right, that if there's no Mazik to shoulder the burden, then other members of Klal Yisrael, and especially the neighbors, need to do it, because they need to ensure for themselves and for each other, right, that the principle of privacy is cherished and safeguarded. Which is why Yisrael was thinking, to begin with, this is like, you know, just a norm, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? I agree with you. Okay. So that is what I wanted to say about Beis Shar and so on. So having said that, do I have another 1 minute? Yeah. So just let's say about the same, about the going forward. Yeah, just Yisrael, just finish up the Gemara for us to the two dots. Go ahead. I know we're a little over time, but just we'll. Okay, that doesn't, obviously that's not the same, that's not as shiny, so that's not part of our discussion. The Mesipis, what exactly it is, as you know, is a huge machlokus on Rishonim, whether it's like something on the floor, or it's like, you know, visible barrier, you know, like a see-through barrier, or it has holes in it. Okay, good, let's continue. So here the Gemara says, Zeka de Bayis Shiny. So here I just want to say two things. Number one, we already said that some of the Rishonim, you know, going with Tosus, think that, you know, Nafal Shiny, it becomes like the equivalent of Bayis Shiny. And I was suggesting that isn't so posh. Number two, some Rishonim say that Bayis Shiny and some Mepharshim say means, oh, because that's where, you know, tzniusa of the more obvious type has to take place. In my opinion, it could be a bigger idea. It's the idea that the mokom bias, even for non, you know, technically tzanua, it's a mokom prati. It's a private place. It's your castle. It's your sanctuary. It's your, you know, sanctum sanctorum, etc. And in that sense, it parallels very much, and I think it's different than tefillah, it very much parallels, again, you know, shiny, hezekah, derabim. You know, whether it's of, you know, the mazikim type or of the nizokim type. This is like a different category. So the idea that hezekah de bias is, again, because this is the first one that's clear, this is a hierarchy. But it's an understandable qualitative hierarchy, according to some. according to others, it's exportable. You know, it just means... Okay, go ahead. Toshma. Dom Rav Nachman. Oh, so there it's from a Gag to a Chatzer. So we're protecting the Chatzer. So Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, and this of course is consistent with what we talk about, Rosh Hashanah and a few other things, right? Go ahead. Dom Rav Bala Chatzer, the Bala Gag. Tashmishi, Lidach lo kvielech, Tashmisha seich, Vayadana behe idna slik of yasis di itstana minach. So what is this? So this, I think, also, this goes back to what I was saying about Tosas, right? And that is like, that's a madrega. Like, there's one madrega that says, oh, I can't even defend myself. That's an understand, quantitatively for sure, but maybe even qualitatively. Like, being defenseless, you know, is different than, like, having, you know, the prerogative, you know, of having a private place or not having to think about it. This is more of a hardcore mazik issue. And that's, again, when the Gemara says, oh, you already were worrying about Rosh Hashanah, so, you know, is there any added, you know, those Gemara, the Gemara in Vav Beis, the Gemara later on, you know, the Gemara in Nun Tes, etc. Okay, we'll stop here. So what remains, I'm sorry we didn't finish, but I still want to talk briefly about two more points, and this is Mirtz Hashem Sunday. Number one, the building of the wall, the material, the, you know, the rush, the Nimuke Yosef, the Ramban, Tosis, what's going on with that? And then finally, just a couple of quick comments on Kutra Beis HaKisei, and Afchav Gimel, and then Kelai. Okay? Okay. Sorry for going over time.